You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Another rainy Friday in downtown Starkville, but just like the last one, my bet is we're going to play baseball. I'm Charlie Winfield. He's Bart Gregory. This is our Friday show getting set, well, kind of recapping LSU. That was basketball yesterday and looking forward, maybe too strong a word, anticipating.
Previewing
LSU. Coming to town for a three-game baseball set. It's going to be wet tonight. Looks a little bit better the next 2 days. Bart, this is where the old rubber meets the road, right? We're about to learn a few things. Or are we?
Well, first and foremost, where's the music? You had music last week when we walked in here. We didn't play Blame It on the Rain by whoever sang it for Milli Vanilli. But, this is the – when the schedule came out months ago, just the SEC portion of the schedule, this was the stretch that we were like, okay, this is going to be the determining factor of kind of how the season goes. Are you going to make a move? Are you going to make the move from being 13-14 in the SEC the past couple of years? Are you going to come back to the middle of the pack and kind of reestablish yourself as a baseball program that is really good, or are you going to put yourself behind the eight ball that you got to catch up the rest of the way?
If I told you right now that you would go in the first 9 games this season, that you go 4-5.
Yes. Yes. Bye.
You Bye. Have to, wouldn't you?
You have to. Well, and because you've got LSU. Listen, the thing that we learned after – winning the national championship 2 years ago. And the thing that Ole Miss learned by winning the national championship, a couple years ago, is you don't have the exact same team the following year. Now, we had nowhere near the exact same team, same situation with Ole Miss. They've got some pieces back at LSU, but they don't have the exact same team back. They lost to Paul Skeens. They lost some guys in their lineup that they're trying to replace, and they have some freshmen that are trying to put the pieces together. The thing that looks, that's interesting to me about LSU is they're having some of the same issues here early in the season, even though they've only lost 2 games. This is pretty much a consensus number 2 team in the country, but they've had some difficulty hitting the ball at times, especially with some of their outfielders. Their batting averages, down in their order have not been great. So this is not the 1927 Yankees we're talking about. And, hey, this is an LSU team that we went down there last year. We lost in 7 innings in game 1. We came back and won game 2 and then won in 10 innings in game 3. Anything can happen this weekend.
And that could be good or bad when you say anything could.
Yeah.
I do – look, you're running Sierra out there. Nate Dome is not going to pitch on Friday night. And I don't know the circumstances. Obviously, I know he was injured. I don't know how bad it is. I don't know if this is a one-week thing. I don't know if it's a precautionary thing. And obviously, if we've learned anything, it's hard to get any sort of information out of people when it comes to injuries around here. And, that's okay. But if you lose it, so what? You live again to play tomorrow. Is Luke Holman is the guy that he's going to match up with. Holman, the transfer from Alabama, has been really, really good.
Well, and we talked about it in the transfer era about there's a lot of times that the NIL transfer world, how many guys don't pan out? How many guys do not play as well as they did at their previous spot? LSU was able to hit – on a generational player last year in Paul Skeens. There was a guy who was a really good player at Air Force. He was a two-way player, decided to go to Baton Rouge and pitch. Do away with the hitting and just pitch. and he was a generational player. Luke Holman has been exactly what they thought they were getting. And the thing about Luke Holman is he is a calm presence out on the mound. And, you know, Charlie, you and I did a Twitter space last night, or you did a Twitter space, and you kindly allowed me to join you. And one of the questions was about, hey, first time LSU's played on the road, they're played in front of your crowd. I mean, you know, how big is that for them to play? Let me tell you, Luke Holman, his blood pressure is not going to get up at all. He's like a pro golfer. I mean, you look out there and those guys are just walking around like nothing's bothering them at all. That's Luke Holman. He's not an emotional guy. But the thing Luke Holman does, he throws low 90s with good movement with his fastball. He throws a really good slider, and he throws a changeup, and he throws all three for strikes. He's a strike-throwing guy. And so when he's mixing those pitches, he's not overpowering. He's not the 96-97 that you see a lot of times on Friday night in the SEC, but he is that calming, cool presence out on the mound. And, you know, you and I have talked to a lot of different coaches, Charlie. What's the one thing that if you have a pitcher that is throwing multiple pitches for strikes at any time in the count, what do you see? You see a lot of call third strikes. You see guys who are kind of mixed up at the plate. And tonight may be one of those nights where if you're a batter at the plate, your head may be swimming a little bit because you really don't know what this cat's about to throw.
All right. Now, let's be fair. He's been really good through four games.
Really hadn't pitched against anybody.
Except he had Texas.
Well, I mean, Texas is not an offensive juggernaut.
You say, you know, the problem with Texas is they think they're Texas. But Central Arkansas, Northern Illinois, and Xavier. But that being said, the most hits he has allowed in any game this year. I should back up. Shortest outing, 5 1/3. Most hits allowed in a game, 3. Most walks allowed in a game, 2. He's thrown one wild pitch in 24 innings. He's been really good. He's 4-0. He's gotten the win every single time he's been on the mound. Now, this was a guy, though, who coming in, Alabama as a freshman, had an ERA of over 5.5. Last year, he was 7-4, ERA of 367. And can't, you know, I'm not going to take exception with that. But it's not like he was Cy Young. And so you just wonder on a guy that's given up one home run all year. Excuse me, has not given up a home run all year. If Mershon gets on base, if Dakota Jordan runs one out, how does that get to him? And I know we got the pro golfer thing, but even those guys get the yips now and then.
They do. And so you just brought up the point about Mershon and then Dakota Jordan. Mershon's been getting on base. And the thing about Mershon about getting on base is he's been hitting a lot of doubles and leaving first base open. And so what happens when DJ comes to the plate with first base open? Over the last week, everybody's begun to walk him because they're not afraid of what's coming afterwards. You talked about this last night. You brought this point up last night. Do you get the thought of in the next week or so, if you're not getting a whole lot of production behind Dakota Jordan and they're going to walk him every time he comes to the plate, do you do something else with your order?
All right, so let's assume that I'm Chris Lemonis and I'm sitting in my office this morning watching it rain, hoping our grounds crew can get the dirt around home. Well, never mind, because we don't have dirt around home plate. Sore subject.
Get the scissors out, cut it up.
I mean, but let's assume that I'm trying to get ready to play. And I have decided that someone has walked in and they have convinced me that we got to move Dakota around or we got to move some pieces around behind him. Is the answer, and there are many possibilities, is one answer, leave Imani Larry where he is leading off and then plug in Dakota Jordan and Mershon behind him? Is the answer to, and I hate dropping Dakota in the order, but do you put him fourth? Do you flip him with Hunter Hines to give somebody to, you know, maybe make him pitch to Hunter a little more?
Well, I don't know about that because then you're still going to have the issue if he comes to the plate, who's behind him and what are you going to do? And I understand, you know, you if you flip him.
But if you move him up to second, you solve that problem, don't you?
You probably solve that problem a little bit.
I mean, because you look at Mershon, he's hitting 404.
Right.
And to your point, of his 21 hits, six are doubles, two are triples. He's not going to run one out on you, but better than a third of his hits are for extra bases. The other thing he's not doing, he doesn't strike out a ton. So, I don't know. I'm not saying that's the answer.
Well, and the thing, too, about Mershon batting right in front of DJ is even if he gets a single, what's the thing about Mershon? He has speed. It's almost like you don't want to steal him to second base and take the bat out of Dakota's hands.
Yeah, he's 4-for-4 in stolen bases.
And so maybe the flip is there.
Let's talk stolen bases a minute. I would have argued potentially, had I just looked at our stat sheet, 23-of-26 in stolen bases, and I go back to you have to remember that two of the times we were caught stealing, it's because we read a ball in the dirt, catcher is able to make a play and throw you out, sometimes when the guy stopped halfway between first and second trying to figure out what to do. Two of them were not the classic, we're just going to straight steal. But we have been thrown out three times in 26 attempts. Again, two of those with the asterisk. It almost makes you want to say, hey, we got to run more. We got to think about trying to steal more bases. But then I go and I look, and again, they haven't been playing, you know, in the AL East or anything. But LSU's opponents this year are 10 of 17 in stolen base attempts. That's an amazing job of controlling the running game. In an era of college baseball where pitchers want to get a high leg lift and throw at 95, 96, that's amazing, throwing out 7 of 17.
Well, and they've got good catchers, Trubisky, Milazzo. Guys have really good arms and quickness behind the plate. But you just brought up the good point, Charlie. You know, we can talk about catchers all day long and about how they control the running game. So much of the running game is controlled by the guy on the mound. And we've seen that too. We've seen some stolen bases against some of our catchers that you're like, they had no chance whatsoever. So their pitching staff, and you think in today's world of high leg kick, as you said, and power arms, it doesn't you don't put the emphasis on that slide step and getting to the plate quickly. LSU is not a team that you're going to run a whole lot on.
Should remind you, by the way, that on this rainy Friday, we are safely tucked away inside the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, agents in all 82 of Mississippi's counties. Check them out for all your insurance needs, life, home, auto. Call our friends at Farm Bureau. You've got an agent, he'll probably be at the high school baseball game. They're around town, so look them up. Also remind you that if you're coming this way, stop by and see our friends at Maroon & Company. They have added to their Bulldog Initiative gear. They've added mugs. And so on Sunday, when Bart wants his blueberry cobbler from Strange Brew Coffee House, he can use a tumbler, an insulated mug from our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. No, not Strange Brew. At Maroon & Company, which is just across the street from Strange Brew Coffee House. In fact, take your Bulldog Initiative tumbler over to Strange Brew and tell them I want you to blast this with some hot water. Just clean it out a little bit. And give me the house.
No, just the coffee is being hot enough, it'll kill everything in there.
Give me the medium roast.
Hey, and that's what I'm drinking right now, is that great Strange Brew coffee. Blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee from Strange Brew. I get the packs. I mean, I get a bag of it at Strange Brew. Take it to the office, and I make that every day at the office for all of my friends. People, you come into the Bulldog Club offices, that's what they're drinking. And so that's not an endorsement. I'm just saying, from a Bulldog Club standpoint, I'm saying from a Bart Gregory standpoint, that's an endorsement of I want everyone that I come in contact with to have the best quality coffee. And so it's Strange Brew Coffee House on Spring Street and Highway 12. They're also in Tupelo and in Tuscaloosa. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and they'll ship that great coffee to you. And if you're in town this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, make sure you head over to Strange Brew and get your day started the right way. But if you're over there, walk right across the street, right beside Chick-fil-A, and Wyatt Craig and his fine folks at Maroon & Company. They'll get you taken care of with all your great Bulldog gear and Bulldog Initiative gear.
Yeah, they've got Bulldog Initiative gear in the store. And look, man, those guys have been absolutely incredible in supporting the Bulldog Initiative. So when you need clothing, when you need state gear, please go see them. I tell you somebody I'd like to give a shout-out to real quick. I was in Nashville yesterday, and I was much happier when the game ended than I was at halftime. But as I was leaving, I met a young listener, Tobias. And Tobias tells me, his dad actually told me, he said, I have to listen to all y'all shows twice because I listen. And then when Tobias gets in the car, we have to listen again. So was able to visit with him a little while. That was really cool to see somebody young who listens to the show. So shout out to him.
Well, and it's a good reminder, too, that, you know, sometimes I have to watch myself and things that I say because the youth of America and the future Bulldogs of America are listening.
I don't know that they're exactly the moral pole star by which they set their sails.
Hey, Tobias, how you doing, buddy? Yeah.
Chart a course towards Bart. I don't think that's ever come up. Okay, so real quick, let's talk about basketball. I know this is typically a baseball preview show, but let's talk about basketball. You're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Chris Jans, in his second year, will have taken Mississippi State back-to-back NCAA appearances. This time, it appears, unless things go crazy, avoiding the play-in game. Man, you look at the last four down the stretch, it looked like Kentucky might have just kept on beating us, dropped that game, dropped South Carolina, dropped A&M. Look, you're not going to win at Auburn very often with Bruce Pearl over there and the situation they have. But at halftime yesterday, it looked like Kentucky was still beating us. We were playing hard defensively. We were giving effort for a while. We talk sometimes, one of the things that was good about Dylan Cupp is that he did not take his struggles at the plate into the field with him. Even early in the year, by the way, his batting average almost up to 250. But when he was struggling, he was still making the plays defensively. It looked to me about 10, 11, 12 minutes deep in that ball game that we took our offensive struggles to the defensive end with us. We just got out of sorts, and we went 8 minutes on a stretch to end the first half and into the second, 8 minutes and 45 seconds without making a shot from the field. And we still won that ball game. At the end of the day, I don't know what adjustments were made at halftime. Maybe we just got a few guys hot. I tend to think it was a little more spirited conversation.
Yeah, and this has been a – let me tell you what's been weird about this team is, you know, we've always said that defensive rebounding is something that could travel. And the rebounding and defense this year has really not traveled. I mean, you've got two road wins, and that's it. We're 2-8 in road games this year. You won at LSU. You won at Missouri. And you've gotten off to some horrid starts. Hey, even in neutral site games. But on the road, away from the hump, the first half of games offensively, I think back to Northwestern, you got in a big hole up there, and you're able to come back in Connecticut early in the season to win that game. But starting offensively has been a real struggle in games away from Humphrey Coliseum. But at the end of the day, in the second half, there's something about a team that is older, about playing in neutral site games. I don't know what it is. But they almost calmed down a little bit more in the second half. We're 7-0 in neutral site games this year. Now, I know you got to factor in the Tupelo game, but you think about Northwestern, you think about Washington State, you think about yesterday and how you played with poise in the second half of a neutral site game. But 7-0 in neutral site games and just 2-8 in true road games this year. And it just seems like in every single one of them, we had the slow start in Tupelo against North Texas. But you have those slow starts, but you're defending in neutral site games where you really you've had a tough time defending in true road games. To me, that's just an interesting stat, kind of an anomaly, because you've played so well in neutral site games, but did not play well at all on the road.
Here's one that interests me too. And there's a factor if you look at the KenPom stats where they talk about home court advantage, and right now we are sitting here 13th in Division I in home court advantage. Now, when you first hear that stat, what some people say is, wow, man, that means we have a really tough place to play. But it doesn't have to be interpreted that way. The other thing it could tell you is you just play that much better at home than you do on the road. I mean, the idea of having this tremendous bump playing at home, there's a corollary to that, which is there's a tremendous downside to not. And for whatever reason, on the road, we just haven't been as good. I still go back to this, though. I think the two things that just have not gotten enough attention are, first of all, the change in the defensive rules. This was a team built for a set of rules that no longer exist. The charge is a dying call in offensive basketball unless it is a moving screen. So charges are going away. They're really hard to get, particularly for an off-ball defender. The second thing is there were some schools, and we were not one of them, who took transfers who they were hoping somehow, some way would get eligible but probably wouldn't. And 7-8 games into this season, a court case changes that. And now guys who nobody thought were going to be able to play, or at least nobody here thought would be able to play, are eligible. And so things change. This was – you recruit differently if you know these guys are getting eligible, right? You're taking some transfers that we didn't take. And so a lot of those things were kind of stacked against us. But here's the bottom line. We're going to the tournament. This team needed to go to the tournament. And who knows, you play Tennessee today. My expectations aren't high, but my nerves aren't as high as they were yesterday either, because now you're safely in, at least according to all reputable sources.
Yeah, and all the top seeds are still going in this thing. The two teams that won in the play-in games, Arkansas and Georgia, both got beat yesterday. Carolina beat Arkansas. And then Florida last night in the late cap beat Georgia 85-80. And so today you've got Tennessee, Mississippi State. That's the first game of the day at 12. Then Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, and A&M. And then Alabama, Florida later tonight. And so this is the quarterfinals. And so, you know, you play Tennessee in Nashville. There's going to be a lot of orange in the arena. I bet you saw a lot of orange yesterday. There's also going to be a lot of blue in that arena. And so are the people in blue cheering for the people in maroon, because the people in blue don't like the people in orange. But does that really matter? I don't know. But we have played well. Going back to my point, we have played well in neutral site games. We beat Tennessee here at home. They're a team that they just got better as the year went on. I didn't think – when I saw Tennessee here, I thought they were good. They were a top 10 team. But I never thought that they would win the league. Did you?
No, I didn't. Now, Connect is – he's
– now, we didn't really know a whole lot about Connect at the time. But, I mean, that guy's become an overnight star.
So, looking at this morning, this came out at 1:30 a.m., the latest Joe Lunardi projection. It has your Bulldogs of Mississippi State in Omaha. Who said we weren't going to Omaha this year?
Hey.
We're kidding in, man. So it would have us playing Utah State in the 7-10 game, matching up with Iowa State and Sam Houston. Sign me up.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it right now.
Take it right now. And so
– but I will say this. Lunardi is really good at gauging who gets in. But just like everybody else, it's kind of a wild card about where you go.
Yeah, and at this point. We'll know a lot more Sunday. All right, Bart, let's turn back to baseball a minute. You've got a big series, things that you want to see. What are the questions you're looking forward to seeing here this weekend? I'm going to give you one to help get you started. Where are you going, right-hander out of the bullpen?
Well, there's a lot of factors involved in this. To me is, what's the score of the game? What inning are we talking?
Can we agree that Auger's going to steal your back-end guy?
Auger is no doubt. And I saw some – you know, somebody say the other night, I mean, something about Auger, about, hey, that guy's been good for you. That guy's been really good for you. He gave up a hit against South Alabama.
It happens.
That happens. And he has not shown me anything to think that he is not your number one choice at the back end of the ballgame. If you've got a 2-1 lead in the game tonight going to the bottom of the ninth inning, or maybe even the bottom of the eighth inning, then he is no doubt the guy I've got warming up coming in the game.
Yeah, and then what'll be interesting to see is where do you go in the middle? Gavin Black.
Gavin Black has been good. Hey, our left-handers have been good.
Hey.
I'm interested to see. Here's what I'm interested to see. We have some left-handed freshmen who are emerging right now. Luke Dotson, Nolan Stevens. We have some guys in the bullpen, those left-handed. Tyler Davis, who has been better this year than he was last year. To me, that's the question I want to see answered, is how are these left-handers in our bullpen? Because you got LSU who has some really good right-handed sticks. How are our freshman left-handers handle this weekend?
And so I was actually going to say, I'm going to be interested to see how do some of our right-handers handle it. Because some of these guys, you're going to have to call upon in a much bigger role than they've been in. Gavin Black hasn't been in this spot. Cam Schulke hasn't been in this spot. Tyson Harden, you haven't put in this spot. And so now how much more trust have you gained for him? So I think it's –
And, hey, one of the things, you know, we talked about this last night in that Twitter Live, Live Space. What did we call it? Is it Live Space? Is that what it is, Charlie?
Twitter Space,
excuse me. Is, okay, the thing about this year's pitching staff is so much emphasis has been on throwing strikes. And, you know, we have not been playing offensive juggernauts. And we have been able to fill up the zone and pour pitches through the zone. And, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about how we've been giving up a lot of hits, 1-2-0-2, because the emphasis is more on throwing strikes than location, it appears, here early in the year. What happens when you get into league play and you start playing some really good offensive teams and all of a sudden stuff gets coming back at you pretty quick? And the opposing batting average goes up, and then you've got guys 1-9 that can hit instead of, you know, 3 or 4 guys in the lineup that can hit. And what does that do to a pitcher? And how do you cope with that pressure? Are you continuing to throw strikes? Are you throwing too good of strikes? Are you throwing too many strikes? Those are things that could crop up in SEC play that are different.
Well, if you're coming to Starkville this weekend, a lot going on. Bulldogs in baseball, of course, have LSU. Softball will have Texas A&M. Softball's been playing really good. And a lot of other things going on. You've got music on Main. That'll be from 2 to 5 today. But just a lot to do just to get out, walk around town, walk through the Cotton District. Look, here's the bottom line. Tonight is not going to be the type of night that the Chamber of Commerce would have ordered up. Next 2 days, though, have a chance to be pretty good. And with us not playing until 4 o'clock tomorrow on that Saturday ball game, you got plenty of time to get out, walk around, and check out some of those restaurants down at the Cotton District, check them out downtown. So a lot going on there. Next week, if you're inclined to be in town, you got Untapped Downtown. Bank of Commerce is putting that on. And so a lot going on here in Starkville. You know, one thing they're doing down at the Partnership, Bart, is the Starkville Stride competition. You know about this?
Yeah, you walk a bunch of steps. Is that right?
Yep, and the Team Bulldog Initiative is holding our own right now. We were 8th this morning. And we have one person on our team kind of bringing us down a little bit.
Is that you?
I'm not going to call any names, but Ben needs to get busy.
Okay. Get Ben in here now.
Yeah, so Emmy has let him hear about it with some enthusiasm.
Well, Emmy's going to let you hear about anything with enthusiasm.
Well, there is that, yeah. I think in one weekend, it was like Sunday morning at 8, she was already sending a message saying, you better get moving. So she's gung-ho.
This is that time of year I'm glad I'm not a part of the Winfield Law Firm.
Yeah, it's probably, probably right. Okay, so we were going back real quick, hit on a couple more things on baseball. What are the things you want to see? Here's what I want to see, and this is almost offensive to say this. I remember, of course, I'm a Yankees fan, and 1 year is after the passing of George Steinbrenner, they went in for spring training, and hanging up in the locker room were signs that said compete. And one of the writers rightly commented that the boss, George Steinbrenner, would be turning over in his grave. Because he doesn't care about competing, he cares about winning. All right. But I kind of want to see compete. And I think this team is going to want to see how they compete. I think there have been a couple of times this year where you can almost feel, boy, if this goes the wrong way, there's a little bit of a here we go again mentality. It certainly exists in the stands. And you wonder a little bit, even though there's a lot of new guys, that it's kind of in the dugout too of here we go again. I think step one is I want to see us compete, not back down when things go bad. If we get down 2-0 in the fifth, that we're still swinging it. We're trying to get the bullpen door to open. Because you get Holman out of the game, and then who knows, right? Holman's been around, but before the weekend's over, there's going to be some young guys run across the mound for them too. And I want to feel good about our competition.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you said it right. You know, competing is the first step. You know, what the boss man was saying is winning, that's what matters. And that's what I want to get back to, where you understand that maroon hat with that M over S is a huge brand in college baseball.
If you'll wear the maroon hat.
Well, I'm just saying. But that is a huge brand, and this is a huge fan base that expects to win. As you said, we've been knocked off the perch a little bit in the last 2 years. And so, yes, step one is going out and competing. And down the road quickly, I want to get back to the part of winning and winning big. I'll tell you who else wins big. That's our good friends at Country Pleasin' Sausage. Country Pleasin' wins every taste test when it comes to sausage, especially in the state of Mississippi. They're also down in Louisiana a good bit. A lot of restaurants in New Orleans.
So does sausage travel?
Sausage.
If defense travels, does Country Pleasin' travel? That's what I want to
know. It travels as far as their delivery trucks will go, which is all throughout the Southeast, even into the Midwest now. They are branching out with their brand. But if you're coming through Florence on Highway 49, and that's where it all starts right there, that's where they make that great sausage, whether it be the jalapeno cheddar, whether it be the pineapple and pork, the crawfish and pork, and whatever you look, or just the original. Stop by the butcher shop. They've got great steaks there, a lot of beef jerky, but even lunch to, hey, they can cater meals for you up to 500 people. They can do it for you. Our good friends at Country Pleasin' Sausage. And hey, stop by Jerry's Fish House right next door. We talked about Jerry's a couple of weeks ago. And our good friends at Heartland Catfish. And Heartland Catfish, producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish anywhere in America. And they ship it to great restaurants around the Southeast. And one of those great restaurants, and I was stopping through there, a couple months ago, I was in Paris, Texas. And I was in Paris, Texas, at a place called the Fish Fry. And I was like, hey, this place is outstanding. I was texting my buddy Jonathan Mills, and he was like, you know what? We actually supply the fish there at the Fish Fry. Because I was telling him, hey, y'all got to get in the Fish Fry. And he's like, hey, we actually give them – we don't give it to them. We sell our fish to the Fish Fry in Paris, Texas. And so – Heartland, producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish. They start in their ponds all the way to your plate, and that's our good friends at Heartland Catfish.
All right, Bart, so State, LSU, this weekend. Luke Holman, the guy that I think all the attention is going to be on, rightly so, tonight, and for State, you just want to try to hang in there, maybe win this thing in the end. We're going to be back together, and we're going to talk on Sunday. It might even be a two-show Sunday. Or it could be a show in a Twitter space Sunday, because we're going to have Selection Sunday to talk about. But one thing's for sure, we'll be back together and we'll talk further about this series. State, LSU, till then, see you guys Sunday.